The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's a gorilla of destiny, a Bullet Club OG, continuing on the legacy of the most feared name in all of wrestling. From Tonga to Japan to America, you are now entering Tama's Island with your host, the babyface heel, Tama Tonga.
Oh boy, folks. We're coming at you. It's the same Tama's Island time. It's the same Tama's Island place. We're recording this on a slightly different day. It's Wednesday, May 18th at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. We are live on Tama's Island. We have got a lot to talk about today. Before we start getting to all the various stuff that's going on in the headlines, let's welcome the crew in. First of all, welcome back to the island, the one, the only, Karen. Karen, how are you on this fine Wednesday that we're recording the podcast?
It's a nice way to shake things up. I'm having a good day. No complaints.
Hell yeah. Same here. It's a beautiful day in Chicago, and we got plenty to talk about. So let's also welcome back to the podcast, John. John, how are you today?
Man, I am doing fantastic. I am here, and I am ready to talk about some wild shit that's gone down.
Hell yeah. No, it's definitely been a wild, wild week in wrestling. It would not be Tama's Island, though, if we didn't have the 36th Never Open Weight Champion with us. Please welcome back to the podcast, Tama Tonga. Ooh, how are you, sir?
Very good. Very good. Thank you. Good to see everyone here. Karen, good to see you back. Nice seeing you guys. Let's rock and roll, Ross. That's good.
Absolutely. Like he said, I'm Ross W. Berman IV. I'm your host this evening. We got plenty to talk about. First and foremost, it's the most wonderful time of the year, especially if you love wrestlers under 200 pounds. Best of Super Juniors is underway in Japan. We've got a few rounds under our belts. We've got some leaderboards starting to show up in the A block, at least, where they've wrestled a couple times. In B block, there are just some folks with points on the board. But let's talk about what is already turning into a very interesting tournament so far. I'm going to throw to you, Karen, first. You've been down in the trenches like I have watching these early morning shows. What's your initial reaction to this year's Best of Super Juniors now that it's underway, now that we're actually seeing the field in action?
I've missed having the Super Juniors in the spring. I've missed them having their own celebration because, you know, it was, you know, I understand the necessity of them putting it with World Tag League in the previous 2 years, but there's just something special about the juniors having their own time to shine, because by and large, throughout the year, they only get two shots at it. Yep. Super Juniors and Super Junior Tag League when they have enough tag teams. Mm-hmm. Occasionally there's a Super J Cup, but it's one of those things where now it's like, it's all about them again. So it feels like they're finally getting that elevation that I've wanted for them for the last couple of years.
I completely agree. And I'm with you on the dual tour thing. When it comes December time, I'm also going to be saying how happy I am for the tag division that they get their own tour once again, because it does kind of feel like both divisions, you kind of had to cram a lot of story and a lot of action into one tour when they had those two kind of sharing the field. What did you think of the dual Super Junior Tag League Tour, Tama? Because you were on a couple of those where you had
I loved it.
Yeah,
I loved it because I got to rest in between. So okay. It was, you know, usually the tournaments, you're wrestling back to back days. And but with these, you know, we had to share it. We had to, number one, compete. It kind of pushed us to who could do better on nights. And but at the same time, I got the rest in between. So that's always good for the body.
Absolutely. Great. Definitely seems like it'll be a more brutal schedule on the Super Junior participants this year. John, what have you been kind of thinking of the lineup so far of these the Super Juniors?
Not entirely how I thought it would go, but still pretty damn good.
You know, I don't think you're the only one who's a little bit surprised in the way that some of these Super Junior matchups are going. I mean, a good yeah. example is just I believe it was earlier this week, Doki defeated the Gleet G-Rex champion L. Lindemann in a match, and so already Doki's in contention for the Gleet G-Rex championship. Robbie Eagles is contention for the Pure championship with a hell of a win over Wheeler Utah.
What's with them just using this tournament to just collect contenderships for like every other title?
This is when the Super Juniors is good, man. When you got like, I remember the good old days when like ACH would show up with the AAW championship and obviously Osprey and whatever Rev Pro belt he would have that week, Sabre and the PWG title. Like that is when I feel like New Japan is at its healthiest, is when they are making contenders in other companies as well, because it means like, look, if you like Gleet, you have to watch Super Juniors because you got to find out who's going to be challenging L. Lindemann. If you like ROH, you got to watch Super Juniors because the Pure champion's in there. He might be a double champion by the time he comes back to America. We'll see. But yeah, it definitely makes it feel a bit more like the original flavor of the Super Juniors back when it was literally like Liger being like, what if I get every best junior heavyweight from around the world, from luchadors, from America, we'll get like Dirt Bike Kid will be in there, like everyone. And I don't get me wrong, I miss having the Young Lions in it, but it just warms my heart to see a big bustling Super Junior.
It's really become the best of. Yep. Super Juniors, because when you got, I mean, you got champions on champions on champions on champions up in here. They may not all be in this promotion, but they're stacked. And I think that's super cool. And I think it feels more like kind of like an Olympics or anything else than it does. Just it
brings eyes to our product from their product, you know?
Yeah.
Guys, the whatever company they're at, they're the best in that company.
Yeah, unless they get booked.
They're traveling. They travel overseas to Japan. That's you know, that brings foreign eyes to us, and what better like platform to do it than here at Best of the Super Juniors? Because, I mean, they go. I mean, they don't have a lot of set rules of what moves you can't do. We don't have that. It's balls out.
I don't think that's legal. I don't think that's a legal move. We'll check with the officials first.
Talk to Taguchi. He has been the
yeah. What the hell? What a cheater! Do you see that, Tama? You got to talk to your boy. He said no butt stuff. Immediately violates that.
Now we will get to Taguchi and his promise of butt stuff or no butt stuff in a moment. But Karen wants to jump in real quick while we're still on the topic of the diversity of this year's Super Junior lineup.
Like everyone's talking about, the invitational format of it. It's giving the series the prestige that kind of has felt, not that it's been missing, but having representatives from a variety of promotions as opposed to the normal like three from CMLL, three from ROH. It feels more balanced, and also that they're giving back to all the promotions that kind of helped New Japan in the last couple of years for all the American based or, you know, international based talent that couldn't travel to and from Japan.
Mm-hmm. And that's so, a real good, oh, sorry, go ahead.
And I also feel like this is going to be somewhat of an accurate representation of what we can kind of expect going into the summer with the G1.
Yep. Absolutely. I think especially if you watch the opening, montage video package, whatever you want to call the opening of each Super Juniors episode, there's a lot of strong footage. There's a lot of Impact footage. There's a lot of footage that makes it feel more like, don't get me wrong, you can, you know, the cross promotional shows, I think, have done a very good job of bringing the style of New Japan to the New Japan North American shows. But I think just having the intro to the Super Juniors, having stuff like images from Strong, having that feel more like a part of the New Japan product than I think it has over the course of the pandemic, I think it's really going to help get not only eyes on New Japan, but eyes on New Japan Strong specifically. So that should be good. Sorry, go ahead, Karen. Look like you're
ready. That was it. That's all.
Gotcha. Let's talk about some of the surprise. Let's talk about Taguchi. Let's start there, since now that we've talked about the diversity of the lineup and how crazy it is. Yeah, Ryusuke Taguchi came into the fashionable press conference that they had, because that's another return to form, is the Best of Super Juniors press conference is back. Everyone gets to stunt and style and talk some shit, and boy, howdy, do we love it. But Taguchi said, no butt stuff this year. I'm going to be very serious.
Yeah.
He was going to be as serious as possible, serious Taguchi, the Taguchi that won the 2012 Best of Super Juniors. And the bell rang in his match on the 15th, and immediately he leapt at his opponent like with ass first, like he had never made a promise in the first place. I can't blame him, first of all, because, I mean, if I'm Ryusuke Taguchi, I don't want to, tie one hand behind my back or one butt cheek behind my back, so to speak. So, like, he wants his full arsenal. I
arsenal.
Get it.
Arsenal.
This is why they pay me the big bucks, John. He did end up using the hip attack. He did go back to the old him. But the real I think issue is it didn't work. He didn't win the match.
That's called karma.
Yeah, like it. I think had Taguchi used the hip attack and the butt stuff and won the match, I think I'd be singing a different tune. But because he said it's going to be a serious day and he didn't get serious and he didn't get the win, it's going to be, he's going to need to work on some stuff.
I think he fucked up by saying no butt stuff, because then Hiromu was like, oh, he's going to do butt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? If he didn't bring attention to it, Hiromu wouldn't have been ready for it.
There you go.
It would have been 5 seconds, cover, done.
There you go. What about you, Karen? What do you think of Taguchi's failed promise? Let's put it that way.
Well, I mean, we've had other contestants say that they're going to fight clean. And it's a case of the gentleman doth protest too much. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things where he's like, if I'm not going to use the one thing I'm known for, the funky weapon. You know, that's the first, he's going to lead with that.
It's his name. They still call him the funky weapon.
it's on in the tights. Yeah. Okay. And when he was flying through the air, that's the first thing that you see coming at you. So he's going to be playing spoiler. He's just going to be he'll bring out big match Taguchi every now and then, but I think he's just, as someone who's the same age as him, he's just there to have a good time.
Okay. I mean, hey, I can't knock him for wanting to have a good time, but yeah, it does kind of put that spin on everything that, like, yeah, he's been getting rolled up a lot. Like Hiromu used that nameless Hiromu roll on him. And then, Ishimori using the kind of like a jackknife pin on him last night. So it definitely feels like Taguchi might be falling back. Yeah, not serious enough. Karen, I don't know. What do you think, Tomo?
Karen, number one, you don't ever trust anybody in wrestling. You don't believe anybody who ever says anything in wrestling.
You?
That's the number one rule right there. Anybody who says anything in wrestling, you don't believe them one bit. That's it. That's the truth right there.
Yeah. To quote the great Paul Heyman, I have lied every day of my life, but I swear to you, I'm telling the truth right now.
Yep. Absolutely. And in Taguchi's case, who knows? It's very possible he starts to get frustrated and that butt stuff goes away. But I don't, if there is one thing I know, it's that when Taguchi gets frustrated, he doesn't pull back on the shenanigans. He's going to go harder.
Take it from me, Ross. It's very hard to put that genie back in the bottle. Once you start letting a dude do butt stuff, he's always going to want to do butt stuff, and you can't, and that's it.
Oh. Fair. Wow. Oh. Wow.
Once you go butt, you never go back.
Huh? Once you,
it's true.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about, let's move on from the butt stuff for a moment and talk about
mom's watching this, by the way. Hi, mom.
Hi, John's mom. He was like this when we found him, we promise. But yeah, so Gucci's coming in as a very seasoned competitor. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, he's the one of the most seasoned competitors in the Super Juniors this year. But we've got a lot of debuts in this year's Super Juniors. Like we said last week, Clark Connors making his big debut from New Japan Strong. You got Ace Austin, the Impact X Division champion. You got the G-Rex champion, L. Lindemann, making his debut. But one debut that's been getting a lot of noise simply because of the way he chose to present himself in New Japan Pro Wrestling, interrupting Taiji Ishimori and El Desperado, is Francesco Akira, the new member of the United Empire. Now, we're gonna be discussing Francesco Akira, and while we do this, we're gonna do our best to remind you throughout it that the United Empire is still a vicious group of bullies, for lack of a better term. I mean, it's a bad guy group. They are not.
I wouldn't go as far as calling them vicious, but. There.
Okay. They are bullies.
Great O'Conn, who is basically just human Gamera, who goes around saving children, you know, on his spare time. Yeah, big heel energy right there.
Well, no, but he will save the children, then he'll get in the ring and call everyone peasants and talk down to everyone. Don't get me wrong. I think that Great O'Conn is a hero, but he also knows his place. But they've got this new member, Francesco Akira, who. I'm familiar with him because I watched All Japan. I watched his brief run as junior champion, but he was over there. Plucky babyface, young guy, lots of fire, very smiley. And so I was wondering what's going to happen when this guy joins the United Empire, a group of you know, hard-nosed motherfuckers, for lack of a better term. The answer is he is going to be a plucky babyface, lots of fire, real smiley, going to... if you haven't watched today's Best of Super Juniors yet, I'll spoil it for you, but he cries after his match with Hiromu Takahashi. Like, he's very much...
I know I'm supposed to be a good guy, but that's what United Empire is recruiting these days, a bunch of crybabies.
The funniest part is if you're watching it with English commentary, because Akira is seconded by TJP, a lot of the times it's like Kevin Kelly and Chris Charlton going, look, TJP is a bad person, just an awful human being. I hate him, absolutely, but he stopped Sho from using that wrench, so I guess he's kind of okay, right? Like, it's not even like, even English commentary is like, what is this nice guy doing with these assholes? But he's as nice as he is. Very talented. He got a hell of a win the first night. He didn't exactly beat Hiromu last night, but he didn't come out of the match looking worse for it. I'm going to throw it to you, Karen. What do you kind of think of Francesco Akira's his start to Super Juniors so far?
What we were discussing this off air before we got started, he kind of has that when Sho first like transitioned out of Chaos into Bullet Club, where he's supposed to be a bad guy. You're supposed to boo him, but he still fights and reacts and interacts like a babyface. And the hard thing is that here in the States, the United Empire has this wildly weird, like, they're kind of like not on the same level as, I'm not going to put them on the same level as LIJ in terms of popularity, but they have that weird tweener energy where it's like, they're supposed to be bad guys. You're supposed to boo them and you will boo them at times. But at the same time, you find yourself oddly cheering for them.
Yep. It's like
it goes back to the whole bit with them seconding each other during whatever match. It doesn't matter if it's a title match, non-title match. There's always, very seldom you see somebody go out in the United Empire and fight alone.
Yep.
They always have a second.
And it's a very supportive second. Like, it's not like Gato and Dick Togo and all those guys. Like, they're
coaching them and like cheering for them.
And it kind of feels like there are two United Empires, because you've got the United Empire that's got like Will Ospreay and TJP and like
and then everybody else.
Well, no, and like I don't know. I haven't seen Aussie Open in front of the Japanese crowd yet, but it's like there are some people that like they just hate, and then it's like Hinare, I don't feel like is at the point where people hate Hinare. You know what I mean? Like they're so excited that he's finally doing something of substance after a long long excursion. And same with I mean Francesco Akira, like I said, plucky babyface. Great O'Conn, he does call people peasants. I think he wrestles like a heel. He talks like a heel, but people know he's a hero, and so it feels like the reactions to the whole group are kind of all over the place. Not in like a problematic way. It's just you don't usually see in a faction people kind of as split on people like they are with United Empire.
I'm okay with him being pseudo babyface right now until just so people can get familiar with him.
Yep.
Because if he comes out, I mean, people will disagree with me on this. If he comes out straight heel at the gate, people are already making comparisons between him and being Osprey's favorite and being Osprey 2.0. And I don't want that sort of pressure or portmanteau put upon him. I want him to be Francesco Akira.
Yeah.
And I think he needs a little more time in New Japan to develop his own sense of style and self.
And the other thing
is that people don't really... he's not necessarily by the current audience. He's not known, you know what I mean, in this kind of moment. So for their first introduction, if he just comes in and just starts being an asshole, people may not, you know, he may not go over. And they were just like, oh, this guy's fucking annoying. But if you start off, let him be his fiery self, let him be his plucky kind of baby face. Then you let him make a turn. Now he starts acting like a jerk. It's more noticeable. You can't start at 9 and go to 10. You got to start at least at 5 and go to 10.
Kind of like fishing. You gotta.
It is.
Well, not first, and then just start slowly reeling them in.
Well, and I do agree, because like Karen brought up the idea of Sho earlier. I think if Sho had started wrestling the way that he's wrestling now, he wouldn't be. He would still be as hated, but he wouldn't be as popular. If that makes any sense. Like it's a weird kind of tightrope.
He can't be hated and unpopular.
But it's not his job to be popular.
No, I know.
Well, it's his job to sell t-shirts. That's called being popular.
I know
that's not his job. Yeah. See, you got it all wrong. That's not his job. Okay. It's to sell t-shirts. His job is to be a bad guy to make the good guy sell the t-shirts. That's his job.
Okay.
His job is to be the baddest bad guy to come in and lay, you know, become the heel. Yokozuna didn't sell t-shirts.
Yep.
You know,
I had a Yokozuna t-shirt. You know?
All I'm saying is what I wanted out of Akira was come in and just and lay the smack down and be on this like a focus, because the fiery babyface thing, I felt like that wasn't what the Empire needed as a junior weight, you know, because you got his mentor running his mouth all over the streets of United States, you know, and then tweeting about who knows what. It doesn't come off as the fiery babyface stuff that, you know, so I was looking for a junior weight Jeff Cobb, somebody that people were, you know.
But here's the thing is they kind of have junior heavyweight Jeff Cobb right now, because Jeff Cobb had the same thing where he had to learn how to be mean.
And Jeff Cobb had to go over as a babyface before he was half a decent heel.
It's not that I think he needs to go over as a babyface. I'm just saying there was a learning curve. Like Jeff Cobb had to get mean.
But one thing that I liked about Jeff Cobb was he switched his demeanor.
Yeah.
Everything was switched.
Yeah. He grew his facial hair. That's all he had to do.
He didn't like bump somebody and turn around and go, ah,
yep.
No, there was this heel to him that once he switched, his hair came over his eyes. He was like serious walking, and that's I wanted that for Akira because he's too good looking.
Yeah,
right. He's too good looking.
Oh, so that's the problem.
I mean, you could fix that, right?
It can be, but you have. That's the thing. Like, if you have that baby face look, you're coming into a heel group. He's supposed to be a heel group. You gotta turn it.
Yep.
You know, you gotta show how serious you are, because that's what I was expecting when I said Cobb, like that energy, you know.
Gotcha.
I don't necessarily think it's I don't know how much heel work he's done in All Japan or prior to this. That could be part of it, is that he's still trying to figure out who it is. I mean, unfortunately, not every person can stroll into New Japan like Ishimori, where he was very much a baby face in Noah and Impact before he came over, and then, you know, had a complete character makeover. I don't know if Akira's character, like, design, overall character design, is that much different from when he was in All Japan.
It's not.
He didn't grow a little bit of a beard. He had the same haircut.
He had the beard in All Japan. That's why I'm like,
part of it. He needs a new fresh, he needs a makeover.
He's a big old mustache.
As the person who watched his All Japan run, I think Karen is spot on with the fact that like it's the same guy. And with Ishimori, he at least had this like he had years of history to play off of. Like there when Ishimori was coming into New Japan, people were expecting the Ishimori of the 2000s. You know, they were
because he also had a great hype man coming into New Japan.
True. But I'm just saying because he was able to invert people's expectations that way, I think it was much easier for Ishimori than it's going to be for Akira, where like, yes, he can invert my expectations and like I know slander, but the other like dozen people that were watching All Japan when he was on it, because it was not a great time for the company. And so I think it is part of him trying to establish what worked in All Japan, because I mean, hell, that's what got him to the dance. But what worked in All Japan isn't going to work for United Empire in the long run. I'm okay with him getting his legs underneath him, but by the end of this tournament, he better be like show and hitting people with a wrench or something. You know, like
what he has working to his advantage is that he has TJP.
Yes.
Love him or hate him, he's a seasoned veteran. He knows how to do heel work. If there's anybody that can help, not like walk him through the process, but give him the pointers he needs while they're touring around Japan, he's got one of probably the more veteran ears in the junior division right now that he can bend and like work stuff with.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's the only veteran heel in United Empire. Cause like Osprey's still learning how to be a heel. Okan is just fresh off of Excursion. Cobb still learning how to be a heel. Like TJP is the guy that I think will be able to, I think Karen's right. He'll be able to get Akira there. We're just waiting for it, because right now it's there's this dissonance. It's this like it comes. It's too because especially now that TJP to spoil some more for some folks, TJP has a win over Master Wato. TJP and Francesco Akira are in contention for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Champions. So Akira's gonna have to start carrying his end of that tag team if they're gonna be a heel tag team.
And maybe that's the whole thing. Maybe he's just holding back some of that heel energy to make, you know, that more interesting when he has to eventually go up against TJP, and then, you know, he can let loose.
And it's only day three.
Yep. That's
the day three of the tournament.
Exactly. I think he's just going to straight up walk up and just kick someone right in the groin.
We still have 3 weeks before Dominion.
Yeah, it's
entirely somebody in the throat by then. It's fine.
It's entirely possible that he hears this podcast and walks into his next match and just smacks the dude across the face.
Well, everybody knows everybody listens to Thomas Island for their wrestling advice. So
you'd be surprised.
Whole roster.
The guidance counseling.
People always tell Tama at work, like, hey, man, great podcast, right?
Thanks for burying me, Tama. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, actually, we're like, why do you tell that John guy to shut the fuck up?
Keep it at 100, man. You know,
sometimes you gotta. Sometimes
get that
you
John guy the fuck out of here.
Francesco, well, they have a problem with it. They can come on the island, and we'll have a
discussion.
Oh! Come in.
Come hang out.
It's your case.
It's a
come to the island court. We'll take care of you.
Thomas Court. Oh God, I am gonna be a lawyer. Oh no.
Just a reminder: no one on Thomas Island is a lawyer of any.
No one
kind.
In fact, I had to do a whole song and dance number to get out of jury duty like 2 weeks ago. I am not the person you want running a.
But you did it pretty well, so.
Look, it's not illegal to say you have a corporate bias against Walgreens. Just a tip for everyone out there. anyway, let's talk more about the Super Juniors, because Francesco Akira is not the only one in this tournament. We got 20 guys. We're not going to cover all 20 of them right now. If you want to see how they're doing, watch it on New Japan World. But one name that I do want to bring up is Alex Zane, the Sauce Alex Zane. An indie sensation here in North America, from the backyards to 205 Live, where he had a short stint, and now he's been a highlight of New Japan Strong. Now he's 2-0 in the Best of Super Juniors, so he's off to a damn good start. Karen, what do you kind of think of Alex Zane, the Sauce, in his Super Junior debut?
He was one of the people I truly wanted to be in Super Juniors. From the time he stepped foot in New Japan Strong, I was there when he debuted in NXT. I was there for his last match in NXT. And I'm glad to see him back working on Strong as well. It goes back to the whole thing about bringing in the people who have worked New Japan Strong and, you know, worked with the company throughout the pandemic. And he's been someone. He even worked the New Beginning in Tampa back in 2020 because he had a match with Jeff Cobb back then.
Yep.
And back then people were like, who is this guy? When is he going to be in Super Juniors? So I'm glad he's there. And he's apparently learning Japanese, or someone's doing a pretty good translation for him. Yep. He's becoming best friends with Desperado over food, apparently. Mm-hmm. I'm just so invested, because for me, like, I'm living vicariously through him right now, because I can't go to Japan.
Oh, he's doing a good job winning over those Japanese fans.
Oh, he's winning them over fast.
One thing you do right is go to Japan and eat what they call natto.
That was literally what I was about to. That was,
oh no!
You read my mind, because he was posting
packed with protein, bro.
I've heard great things.
I'm like a meathead. It's protein.
Now
bro.
Look, we've
that's all the name of. Let me get a list of things that are packed with protein you probably don't want to eat.
But no, like let's talk about the say the name of it one more time, Tama, because I've been
natto.
Natto, okay, yeah, and
not
so,
to be confused,
but
with.
It's spelled NG. NATTO or something like that, or NGATTO.
NATTO.
It's got
no, but it's got a G in it.
There is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's not gnocchi.
No.
I love gnocchi. I could eat gnocchi all day.
There's a G. There's an N and a G. Not is because I at first thought it was natto, like NG is but it's not. They say it natto. So I swear there's a G in there. Let me Google this, man. Google.
Yeah. So for those who don't know what natto is. It's fermented soybeans. Personally, the consistency is best described as looking like beans that are shoved into snot.
Okay.
Because it's gooey and but you have to like take your little packet and you have to mix it up and like just to kind of activate all the
You have to activate it. Oh, I'm in.
It apparently makes it more flavorful if you mix it up real well. See, for me, when I taught in Japan, the teacher next to me would eat it every morning for breakfast.
Okay.
And his breath just reeked of it. So he would turn and ask me a question. And I was like, you just see the color leave my face. So I'm just like, it has a smell. If you can stomach it, Tama, good on you. But yeah, it was one of those things for me. For 5.5 years, my colleagues always tried to get me to eat it. And I was like, nope, no thank you.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste.
It's quite fermented. You know. And by fermented, I mean they leave it in someone's trunk for 3 weeks.
And it's then in a barn.
In a barn.
Look, I'm fascinated by it because he's claiming that all of his success so far is due to natto or natto. And so
it's funny because Tama actually is going to bring some on next time and he's going to eat it in front of us to prove he likes it.
I don't know if you can get it in America.
Oh yeah.
It's made in Vermont. Go to the Asian market. Yeah.
Okay.
They have it. It's made the same as the curry. Yeah,
I'm
same
good.
As the curry. Oh, I get to import it. I got it. I got the market.
He's got a guy.
Yeah. They got it. That golden sparkling.
Maybe we'll make it a if I can get it here, maybe we'll make that one of those like Patreon.
Oh no, I'm
things
good.
Where it's like Ross eats the natto.
Oh god,
mind, I'm good. I was with it when Tama was gonna eat it, but we all got to eat it, and I'm good.
No, I'll eat it. That's what I'm saying.
It's yeah,
like,
yeah.
Because I'm the one I'm the one that's fascinated by the whole thing. I'm the one that's like, you know what? I kind of. I don't know. I'll eat anything
if
once.
If there's a Mitsuya market or other Japanese market in your area, there's definitely, there's at least six
Lottie
kinds
market
of natto available.
Market. Yeah, I got plenty of Asian markets by me. I'll be able to,
I'll probably be
able to find it.
I got good news. I can send it to you on Amazon right now. It'll be there Friday.
I appreciate that, John, but I'm going to trust the Asian markets in my area to have it. I'm going to try it. I don't know.
It'll
I'll eat anything.
It'll be in a refrigerator case.
Yeah.
It is a fresh food.
Look, and if it's not like I can get horse meat here in Chicago, so like I can't try the legendary horse meat that everyone tells
me
about.
No, you have to have that in Japan.
Sugoi, but you can get the canned one on Sugoi Mart. It's whale flavored horse meat in a can. No, or is it horse flavored whale meat?
I'll stick with the snotty soybeans. I don't know if
foods is better just to eat. From Japan, Japan. Yeah,
yep.
You don't want
to. I had that A5
in a can. You have to go there and experience it.
I had A5 Wagyu right there, man. All you can eat right there in Ginza Steak. Never had anything like it. Woo!
One of these days, I'll get over there and take the food tour.
Let's go, Ross. Let's take the whole podcast.
Live from the Tokyo Dome.
But we'll do it when Thomas here.
We'll talk to the rest.
We'll take it while Thomas in the States. That way it's still like a weird time zone.
Yep. No, I'm with you. But yeah, so Alex, so back to the original point, Alex Zane doing very well in the Super Juniors. Good for it. Definitely the kind of independent talent that, again, it's like seeing Ninja Mac over in NOAH. Like, there are some bookings that kind of feel like someone tweeted something out at 2 a.m. and suddenly it became real. I'm absolutely fascinated by it. Another guy who's doing real well right now, Ace Austin. The Impact X Division champion has yet to make any contenders for the X Division title because he's unbeaten so far. What do you kind of think, Tom, of Ace Austin as Impact X Division champion? He's one of those guys who's been like over the course of the past like year has come to kind of define their X Division. Like he's a multi-time X Division champion. I'm real happy to see him over in Japan.
Yeah, it's good to see him on Japan too. I met him and wrestled him when I was in Impact. And he, ring, he's amazing to watch, even standing right there on the apron.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And Chris Bay killing it, and I think he's only like 5'10" maybe, but his thighs, he is jacked. Like I, you know, when you're a meathead like me, you kind of like notice people with muscles, and this kid is jacked. Good chest, legs. I mean, he is solid. He can move in the ring. He's real quick. Good pivot points. I mean, he can really move. And so I'm glad to see him out in Japan. I think that's a perfect platform. Like we were talking about earlier, Karen, showcase yourself, you know, and show people that you're, you know, Impact.
Man, how are my pivot points? Okay. Or
you're getting there.
It's okay on that seat when you turn. Yeah. Lucky you got those swivels in there.
Yeah. I like that they put him, behind everybody in the press conference. Cause he had the best reactions.
Yep.
He's sitting there like what was it? It was Alex Zane was like talking shit about him a little bit, and he went like,
yep. It was Ace Austin.
Everybody up there was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, Ace Austin, Wheeler Yuta were like the champions of that press conference, because Yuta was just kind of like in the background, like, hi, I'm real happy. Hi everyone. Yeah. Like they would bring up his name and he'd be like, that's me.
Curated that lineup back there did a fantastic job.
Absolutely. But yeah, Wheeler Yuta, the pure champion, kicking ass, taking names in the best of Super Juniors. Who else is doing well? That's actually it. That's it right now. Like we've said, we're about three shows in. Hiromu's doing pretty well. Taiji Ishimori, the junior champion, undefeated. El Desperado, undefeated. It's definitely shaping up to be a crazy Super Juniors over in Japan. I'm just trying to make sure that I've covered all of the points that are going on right now. They will be back at it on the 19th as well as on the 21st. But the best of Super Juniors, not the only New Japan craziness that we have been up to over this past week. This past weekend, a bunch of New Japan talent were in Washington, D.C. for Capital Collision. And we were having fun over on the Thomas Island Patreon, hanging out, watching the show together with all the Islander tier subscribers. But it was a wild show. We've got a new King of America. Juice Robinson is the IWGP United States champion. Then also Tomohiro Ishii was able to defeat Eddie Kingston, defend strong style against the King's Road. There's a bunch of dogs barking outside. And I mean, the I feel like the most heartbreaking point of the show is a little personal here on the Thomas Island podcast. Hikuleo making his allegiance pretty clear, it seems. He tagged with Jay White wearing the Bullet Club black and silver. After the match against Okada and Rocky Romero, Tongaloa tried to get Hikuleo to, like, come back from the dark side or to, you know, head over to Hontai, all things forgiven. And Hikuleo was also trying to kind of be like, look, you can come to Bullet Club, man. You don't have to hang out on main unit. I'll welcome you back in. And did not seem like either man could, either man back down. Jay White seems to have his hooks pretty deep in Hikuleo, Tama. What do you kind of think of what's going on there with Switchblade and your brother?
I don't want to talk about it.
Fair. Absolutely fair.
Well, I'll talk about it.
No, bullshit. I've got feelings.
That's all right. I'm kidding. I don't want to get involved in your family drama. I'm just saying it's going to be cheaper at Christmas, at least, right? It's one less Christmas gift you got to worry about.
What? It's going to be
some socks. You know,
get him some socks,
bro. Oh, Father's Day is next month. It's gonna be a little tense.
It's gonna be awkward. It's gonna be an awkward Father's Day. But Karen, you said you had thoughts, you have emotions, you have feelings about this whole thing.
I always have feelings about things. Oh, because so, I at my heart, I'm a teacher, so I always want the best for everyone. Mm-hmm. I was a little surprised that a certain never open weight champion didn't pack his bags and run in and whoop Jay's ass 3 days a week, but that's okay.
He deserves
his rest.
Yeah, he was hanging out with us. He was plenty pissed off. I can promise you that.
I got a hit list, Karen. One at
a
time.
You do.
There's one person I got next that I got to focus on before I go on to the next guy.
All right, I'll allow it.
Yep. Methodical.
I kept hoping beyond hope that with the tour just prior to this, that they're like airing the New Japan Strong episodes of, with it being called Mutiny, I kept hoping beyond hope that Hikuleo was going to flip that switch, and he didn't. So I'm just kind of, I'm not surprised, but I'm really disappointed in him right now.
Yeah, that and I think that's the big statement all around. Not surprised, but deeply, deeply disappointed. If you've been in the happy hours or hanging out on Thomas Island over the past few weeks, you know we've talked about the fact that Hikuleo was wrestling in the black, the red, the gold, the colors of GOD, the colors of New Japan, despite his allegiance to Bullet Club. As I said, when he showed up in that black and silver attire, it was very clear that this was not a conflicted Hikuleo. This was a man who had made his decisions, and while normally I love some good wardrobe-based storytelling, this hurt my heart. This was unfortunate. So hopefully we'll get some more progress there. But like I said, the other big news from the show, Rock Hard Juice Robinson pinned Will Ospreay with Ospreay. This is the first time where I could actually say, you know what, Ospreay had a point. Ospreay's foot was under the rope. Jeremy Marcus gave the three count anyway. And Juice Robinson is now the IWGP United States Champion. I will say it's a hell of a way to join Bullet Club, his first match back. What'd you kind of think, Tom? I see you nodding there. What do you kind of think of the new Juice?
Let's let Karen and the other
all right,
go first.
Fair.
Oh,
fair.
All right.
Let's throw to Karen then. Karen, what do you think of New Juice?
All right. So Denim Juice has always been one of my favorite incarnations of Juice.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it. I always liked it because it was when he was more serious about things. He wasn't cosplaying as Macho Man. He mm-hmm. wasn't when he's my one F-bomb for the show. He wasn't fucking around, just joking around as if he's just like collecting a paycheck and that's it. When Denim Juice comes out, it's like Denim Kushida. He means business. So I kind of was, I mean, one, I was relieved it wasn't his last match in New Japan. I like the makeover. He's doing great things. I was surprised that he was the one who won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the running joke with the fans is that, you know, Red Shoes is like secretly in the pocket of Bullet Club. I think Jeremy Marcus might be getting that Red Shoes deal.
Yeah.
Because this is the second match that Ospreay's been in where he's had the first claim was a little like, I don't know, but yeah, it was probably right. But this time, yep, his leg was full on under the rope for the mm-hmm. count.
Now, and to be fair, I will give Juice Robinson some props. He had good ring placement. If you really watch, Juice Robinson's entire body is along Ospreay's leg so that Jeremy Marcus can't, like, technically see it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the fact the leg was under the rope. I understand where Ospreay's coming from for once. I know it's a rare day on the podcast when I'm on the same side as Will Ospreay, but...
You and me both, Ross.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, his foot was under the rope. And yeah, it's very interesting that Juice won a match that not only included Will Ospreay, but also John Moxley, the AEW star and GCW champion and self-proclaimed ace of New Japan. And then also the actual ace of New Japan, Hiroshi Tanahashi. I was kind of saying it in the watch-along that we were doing on the island. When you're going into a match and thinking, I don't know if this is going to be Moxley's night, you know it's a stacked card. Because, like, Moxley is not exactly someone who's going to be taking a lot of losses in his career. He is a bona fide star in North America. And the fact that he was, like, the least likely to win out of Tanahashi, Ospreay, Robinson, and Mox, like, that stacked lineup, a brutal match, just really vicious chaos everywhere. From what I understand, as chaotic as it was on camera, off camera, there was even more violence that they weren't able to quite keep up with. Just an absolute barn burner of a match. John, what do you think of our new self, our new King of America? That's what I call the IWGP US champion.
I think Juice the Rock Hard Robinson needs to be champion only as long as he has his next fucking title match, because I don't care for this new Juice. I think
you don't like new Juice.
You know, I gotta be honest, he feels kind of lame. Like, he feels like a poser, and I don't know if it's the sunglasses or the denim, but it just doesn't feel right for him. I don't know, it's a zero for me, my dude.
Okay, I don't know, I'm
I hate
liking...
to be cruel about it, I hate to be mean girl about it. Hey, it just doesn't,
I think
I don't,
it's
vibe
the sunglasses
it. It does,
yeah. Don't, yeah, underestimate the power of the,
like,
denim.
He looks like a Spirit Halloween brand biker costume, like literally off the rack. That's what he looks like.
Okay. Yeah, because I can definitely get the biker vibe. Because that was why I was like, that's kind of the wildest thing about Juice is he. I feel like he has gone so far from the dreadlocked, multicolored young boy that came into New Japan so long ago, the former CJ Parker, and now he's. And now he's it's like you said, he's got that Sons of Anarchy vibe to him.
And maybe he's trying to do it on purpose. Like, maybe his whole thing is, I've always kind of been a goofball, so now I'll pretend I'm taking myself too seriously, but
I mean,
still
that
look like a goofball doing it. I don't know.
That was the vibe I got from the entrance, where they like played his old entrance theme and then were like, nah, no more gummy bears, no more high power music.
Yeah, it's maybe he's just, satire.
Just, yeah, it's just rock music and denim, and like he's
creator wrestler vibe.
He's no, he's a truck commercial. Like he's yeah, strong, he's hard, he's built Ford tough. That's the new, that's Rock Hard Juice Robinson.
Rock Hard Ford tough.
Like a rock. Whoa, like a rock.
Dexter said he borrowed all of Tony's gear.
He borrowed all of Tony. Maybe that's the,
no,
maybe
the, that denim is not short enough for it to be Tony's gear.
Well, he had to add something to it.
There you go. But no, I mean, it is possible that he's got that Toni Storm influence. She is one to know, to wear the sunglasses, to wear the leather and the denim. And
she is now an influencer.
Yes, she is. Exactly. And so I don't know. I'm not crazy about Bullet Club and its current iteration, but I do like new Juice. Rock Hard Juice Robinson just rolls off the tongue for some reason.
And I'm not saying this because this is Thomas Island. It just feels.
I'll hit myself with a phrasing on that one. Sorry, go ahead, John.
Not because this is Thomas Island. It just feels like a bunch of posers right now pretending to be Bullet Club. It doesn't feel like it's not as cohesive as it once was, even though that, you know, it used to have a lot of different dudes in it, but they still felt like a unit. Mm-hmm. And all of it just seems like, hey guys, remember when Bullet Club was cool? Like, look at us, like we're Bullet Club now. And it just feels like they went into Hot Topic, grabbed some shit, put it on and went out. And I don't care for it.
That's fair. That's definitely fair.
And I can say that now.
Yeah. Cause fuck them. That's why,
you know, what, they could come fight me now. You know what? You know where I'm at, probably.
Oh, God. You're gonna be in Alaska by this time next week, aren't you, John? God,
maybe.
This time you did it to yourself, all right?
Yeah, but Tom is in the States. He could protect me.
This time you did
it. What's that laugh for?
Anyway. But no, I do think Bullet Club feels a little fractured right now because you've got El Fantasmo running around Best of Super Juniors, winning everything real clean. Like he doesn't have the loaded boot. He's not hitting people in the dick. Like it's a babyface El Fantasmo if he wasn't cutting the usual El Fantasmo promo after where he tells everyone they're idiots and you know all that stuff. So it does kind of, and they're trying to work House of Torture back into the fold. It seems like someone heard all of our comments about House of Torture not being a part of Bullet Club, and they were like, all right, now they're teaming with us again. And so it does kind of feel like they're figuring out what Bullet Club looks like in 2022. And
I can accept that this isn't a transitional period. I can accept that. I can forgive it. But it looks like a fucking mess right now.
Yep.
Well, no, that's what happen when you kick out the captain of your team. Just
exactly.
Saying.
I'm just if they still had Tama, it
lucky
it,
he got
it,
kicked
it
out
be,
or he wouldn't be cool anymore.
No, well, if they still had Tama, it would be our job to help figure out what's wrong with Bullet Club right now. But because they don't have him, we can just kind of we can just let them figure it out on their own. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they won't. Who knows? On June 11th, Jay White's taking on Kazuchika Okada. I feel like if Jay White wins, Bullet Club's doing great. If Jay White loses, Bullet Club's not doing great.
Jay White's getting kicked out for being a loser.
Who knows? It's entirely possible. Anything can happen with Bullet Club. Anything can happen in pro wrestling. And speaking of pro wrestling, speaking of anything can happen, I decided on Monday, you know, I think I will DVR Raw. I will watch it on Tuesday. I'm going to go see the 25th anniversary of Boogie Nights over at the Music Box Theater. Just have a fun, chill Monday evening. And then when I come out of the theater and I turn on my phone, it turns out that some point during Raw, they announced that Sasha Banks and Naomi were going to be involved in the show. Somewhere, apparently, either before Raw or in the middle of Raw, Sasha Banks and Naomi put the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships on John Laurinaitis' desk and walked out of the company, to the point where WWE addressed it on air and then sent out a unusual statement. They don't usually send out long-ass statements about someone leaving the company, but at this point they did. They put out a whole statement about how they had 8 hours to rehearse the match, yada, yada, yada. Things weren't going well, and so Sasha Banks and Naomi decided to take their ball and kind of go home. I mean, my initial reaction is good for them because, I mean, Sasha Banks is in Star Wars right now and Naomi is the favorite wrestler of a certain young child named Blue Ivy Carter, also known as Beyonce's daughter. So they're both, in pretty big places in their lives, but WWE has them in the women's tag division. They were fine with that until they apparently weren't. It feels like they don't feel like the women's tag division is getting quite the respect it deserves, and I guess the women's thing in general. Some folks think, is it a work? Some folks think, is this too weird to be a work, even by WWE standards? What's going on? I'm gonna throw to you, Karen, first. What do you think is going on in wherever the hell WWE is this week?
Personally, as someone who has been pretty much stopped watching WWE because of the way they treat their women and their women's division, and especially the tag titles in particular, good for them. Yep. I'm glad they know their worth. But my problem with the whole situation is how WWE is spinning it, because they went as far as to have Corey Graves, a white man, call them unprofessional when he's married to another talent in the same division. So it's very unprofessional of WWE to like try to weave it into it, whether it's a storyline or trying to like basically control the narrative of what's going on. Mm-hmm. But neither Sasha nor Naomi, to my knowledge, have been released from the company yet. Yep. There's been no formal release announcement, just that really bizarre press, release. And then rumors of them saying that either Doudrop or Nikki Cross were unsafe. And they've wrestled those girls for well over 2 years at this point with Doudrop, and Nikki for much more longer than that. And they're probably two of the safest workers in the women's division as a whole. So the story that WWE is piecing together to cover up the fact that they've pretty much dropped the ball on two of their hottest stars by not giving them the proper respect. And, you know, you can say, well, you know, it's up to them to get themselves over. It's up to them, but they don't have any control over the booking.
Yes.
All they have control over is their how they react to the situation. Mm-hmm. If they don't agree with it, if they don't like it, they can leave, and they just left. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. I know people are like, well, it's their job. It's their job. But at some point, if you keep pleading your case to the company and pleading your case and pleading your case, and you're not seeing the results, and nothing's happening.
Yep.
WWE needs both of them, especially Sasha with all of her connections and popularity, way more than either of them need WWE at this point.
Yep.
Because could go the film route. They could go fashion. They could go be an influencer and make money just like being on Twitch or whatever. It's one of those things where it's just hard, because with Naomi, her husband is part of the bloodline story. And she's been married to him for well before this, and has never been incorporated into the bloodline as mm-hmm. part of the family.
And let's really focus on that for a second, because this is, I think, where I really respect Naomi, is because like Sasha Banks has talked in the past about knowing her worth, right? Like it whether it's on Hot Ones, whether it's in trade magazines, whatever, it's very clear that Sasha Banks is someone who knows that she is of value, and knows that WWE needs her more than she needs WWE. If I'm someone like Naomi, and I've got a tag team partner and friend like Sasha Banks, there is a cynical side of me that says, well, Naomi could have just let Sasha Banks walk out of the company and been like, all right, what's going on with Jimmy and Jay? What's going on with the bloodline? Like, there are places she could have been put. There are storylines that she could have been. And no, but here's what I'm saying. Let me finish my point, because like, if Sasha Banks is suddenly gone and Naomi's like, look, I'm here, I need to work, they can put her with the bloodline. They can do some stuff that maybe they hadn't thought of doing with her before. But because of the fact that she said, no, I'm going with my partner, I am leaving, it really does make me believe that like Naomi is not at the point where she believes that she would have that kind of safety if Sasha Banks wasn't there. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel like, it feels like Naomi knows that Sasha has been helping her, so to speak, has been helping her come up and know her worth, for lack of a better term. Am I wrong there?
No, well, the other problem is that Naomi and Sasha both are both former singles women's champions.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, it is an honor and a prestige to carry the tag team championships. You know, Sasha and Bayley did it. Asuka and Kairi Sane did it. Alexa and Nikki Cross did it. But mm-hmm. it's one of those things where it's just like, I feel like even now, despite the company's history, the women's division, regardless of how many championships they create and how many women's matches they promote, just like other promotions, they don't give enough thought and planning to them.
Mm-hmm. Let me before we go too much farther into this discussion, I've got the statement from WWE, just so that way all the listeners are on the same page. Everyone knows what's going on. This is the official statement that WWE sent out either during or right after Raw. When Sasha Banks and Naomi arrived at the arena this afternoon, they were informed of their participation in the main event of tonight's Monday Night Raw. During the broadcast, they walked into WWE Head of Talent Relations John Laurinaitis' office with their suitcase in hand, placed their tag team championship belts on his desk, and walked out. They claimed they weren't respected enough as tag team champions, and even though they had 8 hours to rehearse and construct their match, they claimed they were uncomfortable in the ring with two of their opponents, even though they'd had matches with those individuals in the past with no consequence. Monday Night Raw is a scripted live TV show whose characters are expected to perform the requirements of their contract. We regret we were not able to deliver as advertised tonight's main event. It's those last two paragraphs that keep me from going, oh yeah, this is just a work. There's clearly Sasha and Naomi it's some kind of storyline. Like, it feels like an awkward corporate message that you would send out when you're trying to cover your ass.
And also, you mean to tell me they sat there They had 8 hours work on the match. They sat there for 6.5 hours before they walked in, put the belts on the table and left.
Yeah.
If they didn't want to be there, they would have walked in at call time with their suitcases, dropped the belts off and left.
Or not showed up.
Exactly. Or, yeah. There's a lot of,
it just doesn't, they're not making it make sense.
Here's the thing. I don't believe the safety thing. I think that they may have said that because they know it's one of the only things that they can walk out on without any kind of necessary recourse. I don't know what the contracts are like. I don't know what the agreements mm-hmm. like. I don't know what the policies are like. But I do know that. I do know, you know, how stunt work things work and TV and all that stuff. And if you feel that something is unsafe, you do not have to do it regardless. So if they say, oh, I don't feel safe working this match, I'm getting the fuck out of here. Go fuck yourself. Also, by the way, you book the tags like shit. As long as they say that, that might be for safety. Or mm-hmm. I don't know why WWE be trying to put bullshit on these two other people, got nothing to do with anything. But the thing I want to mention that's kind of fucking wild is Sasha unfollowed everybody on mm-hmm. Twitter, including WWE, including Vince, mm-hmm. like everyone, except for Tamina, two fan sites, Naomi, John Cena, and game show host Snoop Dogg.
Well, that's her cousin. She has to follow
Snoop Dogg. But she's done that before.
No, we all know how it is. You got a Facebook. Yeah. You have to follow your cousin. Yep. Like, I get it.
But
you get what I'm saying. She did that before the walkout, apparently. People did the math. Mm-hmm. She was like, fuck you. So she was hot already. She was like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. And then told them, fuck you, drop the titles. And even like the fact that Naomi was supposed to go over and still walk means that it's more than just about that booking. Mm-hmm. It's about the long term. And yep. You know, I don't know. Like, do you disappoint the fans? No, because the fans like these women so much that they're like, yeah, fucking walk out. Fuck it. We don't care. All right. So I didn't get to see your match tonight, but I'd rather you move on to do bigger, better things so I could see more of you than this bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with them walking.
Yeah.
Granted, if I was like the producer, I probably wouldn't be, you know, if it was somebody working for me walked out, I probably wouldn't.
No, And while I read WWE's statement, I need to make it clear. That is just that. It's WWE's statement. We have one side of this so far. I believe Fightful.com has had some backstage reports, not a lot with like actual attribution to it, but apparently it does feel like the backstage Sasha and Naomi are being described as persona non grata. But again, this could be, there could be a lot of developments between now and the next time we record this episode. Sorry, go ahead, Karen.
Yeah, no, my only caveat about the whole statement is the suggestion that either Sasha or Naomi would have called one of their colleagues unsafe. Mm-hmm. Especially because they're people that they've worked with. Because if I'm one of those four other people that were scheduled in that match, and that I would be legitimately upset.
Yep.
If that was what they actually thought of me, especially when they could have talked to me about it, because if there was something unsafe, like a particular move in the match, sure, take it out.
Yep.
Fine, no problem. But to be just like, no, that person's unsafe, that can damage someone's career.
Yep. No, and that's one of those situations. Again, where there might be more that come out between now and then. But the situation it currently reminds me the most of is CM Punk in 2014. Yep. Walked out specifically on an episode of Raw, decided to go home. And you know, we saw how WWE handles that. Like, there are a lot of people saying, not only in the chat but also on Twitter, of like, well, wouldn't they have just fired them right away if that's what's going on? And no, that's,
they're worth
too much money. They're worth too much money, and that's not the way contracts, even if they weren't worth that money, that's the way contracts work. You have to, there has to be due diligence. Hell, that's why Punk didn't get his release papers until his wedding day in 2014. They didn't fire him when he walked out. They fired him, I don't know, months later. And then there were many times, I'm sorry, I'll let you in a second, Sean, but I gotta do all the due diligence here. There were many times when people tried to reach out to Punk between the release and the walkout to try and mend fences. So there's still time for Vince McMahon to reach out. There's still time for John Laurinaitis to reach out. There is still time for bridges to be rebuilt, mended, unburned, however you want to describe it. Sorry, go ahead, John.
And the big thing is to, again, they brought up the safety concern.
Yeah.
And I think by doing that, they really like kind of solidified that it's kind of hard to fire somebody. I mean, listen, it's a contract, and I'm sure in the clause they could do whatever the hell they want, but PR wise, it's kind of hard to fire somebody who's like, I feel unsafe in my job. Go fuck yourself. And they leave. That's going to cause a stink. That's going to cause a problem. Also, depending on where they're at, it could cause a problem, because when you work in a state, it's not just where you're incorporated, it's the state that you're at. So, you know, depending on their various laws and shit, who the hell knows what's going to happen. So I just, for me, I think that I don't know that they ever claimed that it was a safety thing, or if they did, I don't think it was the intention to slight anybody. I think it was just a way to be like, we're peacing out without violating the contract.
Yeah, no, that is very possible. And hell, it's entirely possible by next Tuesday when we record the next episode, they'll have shown up on TV and this will all have been a major work. If that's
where
the case,
where it's a work after the fact, where did walk out, they amend it and they go, oh, let's just tell everybody it was a work.
Either way, if this turns out to be a work, I'm going to be eating natto live on the Twitch.
Oh,
chat,
I like those odds.
It's one of those cases of like, I gotta put some money down on that or something to hedge our bets. But like, yeah, it does feel like a weird time, especially with all of the, you know, it sounds like not only is WWE have a lot of talent grumbles backstage, AEW's also apparently got some chaos backstage. It's a weird time. But Tama, what do you kind of think of Sasha and Naomi deciding that I'm not worth all this. I'm worth more than this.
I don't know a lot about the situation by what you read. And I don't know. I'm 50-50, man, because I'm all about what the company wants. And I'm also about people standing up for themselves. And they are independent contractors. Mm-hmm. So as independent contractors, if you're in charge of yourself, if you don't want to do something, up to you, man, you know, but I know that's not how their contract isn't like my contracts, you know, independent contracts. I know WWE has changed their ways or the agreements or whatnot, but, I don't know, man, I'm at the center. I don't know what's wrong. And
It definitely feels like a sticky wicket. It's I don't know. It's gonna be real tricky. I don't see this getting less complicated in the next month or however long this drags out. The one final point that I will kind of bring up about this whole situation is, oh Lord, I just lost my train of thought. One second.
Well, I do want to say while you're trying to get that back. I do want to point out that Human Canavax body spray, Corey Graves, was only reading back what is in his ear.
Yes.
So granted, he could go rogue himself and say, I'm not fucking saying that. Mm-hmm. But he is also in that automatic mode of like in the ear, out the mouth.
Yeah. No. And I do want to make it clear. We have no ill will towards Corey Graves. Like,
no,
he's
I meant
doing
that as a compliment. X smells great.
My main point was that WWE, it does feel like in this statement, worked very hard to try and make this Sasha and Naomi's fault, right? Like, they had 8 hours to rehearse this match and couldn't figure it out. They called their opponents unsafe and they decided during the broadcast to leave. Here's the problem, though, is that also means that WWE had 8 hours to work with Sasha and Naomi over this. It also means that if Sasha and Naomi did in fact think that their coworkers were unsafe, that WWE is hiring people that their fellow coworkers think might not be the safe. Like, it doesn't make WWE look better. I'll say that. I think this statement was really rushed, and I think it really highlighted. I think they tried to make it sound, they were like, we're going to put out a statement about how organized and how professional we are. And everyone went, well, why is everyone calling us unprofessional? If I feel like a lot of the questions are being answered by this professional thing. Like, you know, when you wear a shirt that's like, I have never killed anyone. It's going to make people go, well, why are you wearing a shirt that says you've never, why would you need a shirt that says you've never killed anyone in the first place? Like when you say like, oh yeah, no, we had to release a statement saying that we're the professional ones in this. I'm like, what?
And they are.
No,
they didn't do it professionally. They didn't steal the belts. They didn't throw them in the trash. I mean, they walked out with them. I mean,
well, and here's the thing.
They didn't walk out. They put them down on
Brock Lesnar throws the Universal title at Vince McMahon and says, here, motherfucker, we don't get a statement. Tony Storm walks out of SmackDown in the middle of SmackDown. We don't get a statement. For some reason, they felt this was the time they needed to get a statement. They needed to cover. They needed all the bases figured out. And
on
I think it's
air.
Because, yeah, and I think it's because they know how valuable the talent they just maybe lost is. I don't know.
And as the progeny of several lawyers, Ross, do you think they even had the fucking amount of time that they should have put that statement through legal before making it?
I wouldn't be. Here's what I will say: as the progeny of two lawyers, never underestimate the number of people that have taken the bar exam. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if it's someone who's a lawyer wrote that and was like, "Well, I'm legal. Fuck it," and sent it out.
Sure, but that's still not good enough.
No, it technically is. Like, that's the thing with lawyers. If a lawyer wrote it, all right. There's a due diligence assumed, but sure. That's not the point. My point is that the way the statement came off, it came off a little sweatier than WWE usually comes off in similar situations. Because this kind of reminds me of when Stone Cold Steve Austin decided he didn't want to wrestle Brock Lesnar left. And then like the next week, The Rock had to go out there and be like, they told me to shit talk Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'm not completely comfortable with this, but fuck him. Like that is kind of, I feel like the situation we're in right now of two talent that maybe are a little bigger than WWE putting them in a weird position.
And they're talking about professionalism. It doesn't feel very professional to me to address that kind of backstage concern, right, on commentary.
Well, to be fair, they addressed on commentary. They also sent the statement to Fightful. They sent it to rest. Like they sent it to all of the normal press.
But doing that on a snap like that, wow, given the,
it's just, again, it comes off as sweaty, but I'm not going to
That's a good way of putting it.
I'm waiting to hear all sides of the story before we make a full-blown pronouncement about it. Trust me, as someone who had to sit there in that courtroom and listen to litigators go over with a fine-tooth comb the CM Punk Colt Cabana podcast, I'm going to make sure that we do all the due diligence before we actually say who the fuck was in the wrong here.
We're going to get a 12 Angry Men situation up in here. I know it.
It will definitely be weird, but that's just the wrestling business right now. It's weird, it's wild, and I don't see it getting any less weird or wild as the summer goes on. Because like I said, we're on the road to Double or Nothing, we're on the road to Forbidden Door, we're on the road to SummerSlam, StarCast is back. There's going to be plenty to talk about in the coming weeks. If you feel like you haven't gotten enough of the Thomas Island experience from this episode, head on over to patreon.com/Thomas Island. Join that Islander tier. We hang out every weekend in the happy hours. We are going to be adding a form of a newsletter to the podcast. I can, now that we've got enough structure behind that, I can say that that's coming to the island as well. So definitely stay tuned to Thomas Island on Patreon, on Twitter, on Instagram. John, before we go, where can everyone find you if you want them to find you?
All right, you guys can find me on Linktree and Twitter as John Sebastian, JohnSebastian. And by the way, come at me for some natto recipes. I got them for you. We got natto soup, we got natto ice cream, we got natto everything. So you come through, I'll give you them recipes.
Awesome. I will definitely be hitting you up. Karen, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
You can find me on Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, and YouTube at Hey Karen Sensei. Or if you're interested in women's wrestling, I do coverage of Stardom and I have a weekly column at Post Wrestling. So just postwrestling.com, look up Karen Peterson.
Hell yeah. And Tama, where can people find you if you want them to find you?
Yeah, you can find me somewhere. Anyways, hey Karen. So I looked up that natto, right? It can go, it goes both ways.
Okay.
It can go N-A-T-T-O.
I've never heard it spelled the other way, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
That's what Google says.
Okay.
Google Sensei.
Yeah.
Hey, it's good enough for me. That's where I've been getting a lot of the translations. Cool. So there we go. You can find Tama at Tama_Tonga on Twitter, at the good bad guy Tama Tonga at the good bad guy Tama Tonga on Instagram. And like I said, Tama's Island for all of your podcasting needs. You can find me at Ross W. Berman IV on Twitter, Ross Berman IV on Instagram, RossBerman.bandcamp.com for all your folk and blues needs. We will be back next week, same Thomas Island time, same Thomas Island place. If you're watching on Twitch, we thank you for watching with us. If you're listening to it on Patreon, thank you. If you're listening on your favorite podcasting platform, thank you. I think you understand what I'm trying to say here. no matter how you're listening to us, we appreciate you joining us each and every week. We'll be back next week. Until then, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. Goodbye, folks.
Thank you for listening to this week's Thomas Island. Find more great Thomas Island content like the Shotgun series, weekly happy hour Zoom calls with Tama, video versions of the podcast, and much, much more at patreon.com/Thomas Island and visit at Thomas Island on Instagram and Twitter.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.